Hey campers, how's it going today? It's Matt Sardo, Monkey Sweaty Robots Podcast. It's 10:15. We are in the late innings of the National League wild card game between the Cubs and the Rockies. Rockies have a 1-0 lead as this top of the eighth or bottom of the eighth going on right now. But I'm very excited to talk to you guys today, because I have an interview with Jim Palmati for you guys. I went to MegaCon and chatted with him. I was like, hey, Jim, I just need to talk to you for, 3 to 5 minutes. 15 minutes later, we had a great conversation about the 90s today. And just, man, the guys, there are a few people in the world that like the comic book universe that you hang out with them and then you feel better about life or the industry, basically the comic book industry. There's a lot of people going doom and gloom about comic books, and that's always a bunch of BS because I'm making the writers and the artists and DC, Marvel, all the independents are making some amazing books right now. And so if you're a little, depressed about the industry, you talk to a Jim Palmati, a Tim Seeley, a Scott Snyder, and then you're just like, wow, we are at the best place ever. It's like a little therapy session, and I was glad to have that. Because I'm down in Florida, I'm kind of removed from my comic book world I used to be in, and every time I go to a con, I'm always like, oh man, I gotta set up, do all this stuff. And then like I leave the con re-energized about pop culture and the world, and like all the cool people come in there and all the cosplayers and all the creators I meet. Like I don't think I've ever had a bad time at a comic book convention. It's just good times. It's good times. So what do we got? All right, it's bottom of seventh. Cubs are up 2-1. Baez is up. He's 0-2 and he just popped out. I'm gonna drink my beer. But I want the Cubs to win. I'm a Mets fan. And I hate the Cubs, but my buddy James and my buddy Brian, only Brian out, he got a little insulted on text message thread. They're huge Cubs fans. And, that's always a quagmire. You hate the baseball team, but you want your friend to be happy. So like, what do? And you send the text message like, hey, James, good luck. Really hope your team wins. The Mets aren't in it, so I guess I got no horses in this race. So, if the Cubs win, God, but then the Cubs fans are just brutal. They're like, oh man, look how many World Series you won. I was like, yeah, you won two. Good for you. Good for you. 1908, whatever. I don't know. Drunk Cubs fans. Hate them. Can't stand them. Can't work with them. No practice. That's my Mike Singletary. Can't work with them. I gotta drink my. I went out drinking today. Blue Moon, the Belgian white, Belgian style wheat ale. I feel like there's a lot of Belgian right in like a few words right there. But I'm very excited today's show. Like I said, we got Jim Palmati, and I just reread all the Justice League by Scott Snyder, and my mind was opened up. My mind, like I saw the sign, and it opened up my mind. Yeah, Ace of Base, is that? But little sidebar. We're trying to grow our Instagram at Monkeys Fighting Robots. So if you're a grammar, if you do the Grammy thing, I'd check out our Instagram. I try to put some stuff from the, when I'm getting ready to podcast. And like I put up a picture of like the microphone and my TV in my office. I'm like, hey, trying to do the podcast, but I'm watching the game. So if you're an Instagrammer, if you like what we do, give us a follow and chat with us on Instagram. Now, because that appears to be the huge thing, is if you comment on an Instagram post, more people see it. I don't know. But, it's one of those things. It's we're a business and we need to expand our reach. And Instagram is a fun way to do that, because I can give you kind of a behind the scenes look at what we're doing, and we can chat about goofy things. That's where I feel like Instagram is where I get to be more of an artist. I don't know, man. I just wrote my Justice League 9 review, and I felt like that was me being an artist too, because I brought the heavy. But first, okay, let's get the Jim Palmiotti interview, because I really enjoyed having it. We were at MegaCon Tampa 2018. Jim and I just sit down and talk about the world of comics and enjoy, my friend. Jim, thank you so much for taking time to talk to me today. You're part of the DC Comics Walmart 100 Giants,
yes,
that are going out. What are you working on, and let us know.
So Amanda and I are working on Wonder Woman, and it's a 12-part story in the JLA book that starts with issue 3. I think it's out now. And it's basically, so the approach for the Walmart books is, this is the first time somebody is reading a comic. So Amanda and I approached Wonder Woman, and Chad Harden and Alex Sinclair are doing the art on it. But our approach was, if this is the first time, we're going to tell the story from the ground up. If you never read Wonder Woman, you'll at least get who she is. And it's a very basic, fun story where Steve is missing and Wonder Woman has to find him, and they go to an island where time and space smack together. So it's just a crazy, big, fun story that runs over for a whole year in the Walmart books.
And how has the response been over the first 3 issues?
Yeah, so Oz just came out. I wrote the first 2 Batmans and I wrote the first 2 Supermans, and the response has been great. The only complaint was, I can't find it, they're sold out, all that kind of stuff. But I hear Walmart with the 3rd issues, they kind of figured out with the first 2 that, okay, there's a bigger market here than we thought. So the 3rd issues are going to be a lot easier to find. And I always remind people, when you go in Walmart, it's not in the back, it's not with the books, it's by the front checkout counter with the cards, collectible cards, there's a little display. So it's people, even the Walmart people have no idea where it is sometimes, so I like to remind people. But the feedback's been good, you know, they have the comic shop locator in the back, so we're hoping, the goal is to get new people to read comics, and hopefully that's where we're going with it.
And that's where I was going to go with my next question, and this is DC trying something new, trying to reach, yes, out to different markets for that. Like, is there anything else they're kind of working on, or is this, or like, how are, what, well, are those meetings like when you guys are throwing around ideas?
Well, they have that, I'm going to get the name of it wrong, but the new thing they just had started last week with the videos.
DC Universe,
so that's another way to get people involved, and if they like the movies and TV shows and animation, it also has the comics on the thing, so we're hopefully getting people to read comics. When we meet with DC, Dan, the DO, Jim Lee, Bob Harris, all the guys have an idea. Like, they look at Mander and I, so when we meet them, they look at what we can do, and they play to our strengths. And I think for Mander and I, the idea is, you know, give them something fun to do. Because with Harley Quinn and Power Girl, and we have a certain kind of beat to our work. Our stuff isn't really dark. And with Harley, we're definitely family-friendly, because I'd say half of our fans are like moms and daughters, which is a great market to open up to. So we meet with them, there's usually that kind of conversation, and it's usually, what do you guys want to do, is the question. And that's the best question we can get, because we have a whole big list of things we want to do. The reality of it is, we can only do one at a time, and that's the hard reality. But it's a nice place to be, because I've been doing this for 30 years and I've been hustling for 30 years, and it never, even though we have more successful years, it never gets easier. You always constantly have to hustle anyway. But DC, out of all the companies, DC has been the most open arms about our work, so we're really happy with that.
And transitioning to what you said with the 30 years, you and Joe Quesada have been like sharing photos. Like, I see Joe with his highlights back there.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And I'm 42, so like that was
right,
like my teenage life was you guys going crazy.
Right, right.
And
having fun.
The kids today.
Yeah. These kids. Yeah, yeah.
Talk about like how it was in the 90s.
Okay, so let's, everybody, picture yourself without a computer in your life. And next, picture yourself without a cell phone. And that's how it was when we were doing things. So to get any press, you had to either be in a newspaper, on TV, or Wizard Magazine, which was the other place you can be, in comics. So Joe and I, when we started, we made sure we were up at Wizard Magazine as much as we can. We would go upstate New York, drop by their offices and say, pitch them, hey, we want to do this cover, we want to do an article. And, you know, Wizard guys used to say, you guys are the only pros coming to us. with ideas, and they loved it. And then when we launched Marvel Knights, you know, it was actually Joe and I started self-publishing before that with Event, doing Painkiller Jane behind me, and then Ash as well. But we were aggressive, so even when we did Marvel Knights, we did things that were not common, which is we went on morning talk shows, we had Kevin Smith out there pimping us, returning a favor for when we did him favors for his films, and it was a great relationship. Still friends to this day, but it was a definitely. We didn't have the internet. We didn't have that voice that we could just throw out there. We wrote articles. We did interviews in the comics, you know. So a lot of our comics were interactive and answering letters and stuff. And it was towards the end that the internet started happening, and there were these little message boards. But that was it. So it was a whole different thing, you know. Joe and I used to throw parties in New York and invite everybody from every company to come. And that's where everybody got to know each other. You know, we used to throw like a good 6 or 8 a year, at least. Probably under a number there, but it was just, we spent a lot of time getting a lot of people together, and we made relationships that stayed on forever. You know, Dan DiDio used to be my next door neighbor before comics, you know, so the world it's just a crazy world, but we had to hustle in a different way. It wasn't just like I can go on the internet and on Twitter and just say, hey, you know, here I am. We had to actually go into comic shops and tour. We did a Death May tour in the Black Crows tour bus. And we went from store to store on the West Coast, you know. So things like that aren't done as much these days, we had to do differently then.
Now we fast forward to present day.
Yeah.
Everybody's got the internet.
Yes.
Everybody's got a voice.
Yes.
I feel like we're giving power to people that shouldn't have power or voice right now.
Well, I think everybody deserves to have a voice. It doesn't mean we have to agree with it.
Okay.
I don't spend time disagreeing with people, and I don't spend time trying to change people's mind, because it doesn't really work, right? People believe what they
believe. Joe did that. Like, yeah. I think it was last Sunday or last
Yeah,
Saturday.
Joe's engaging.
He was like, hey, I'm going to try to, you know, fix this issue, or at least talk to people.
Right.
And it was a pretty impressive, you know, conversation.
I'm so happy Joe does that, and I'm so happy he has the time to do that. Joe definitely has probably a more eloquent way of putting things for people, especially since he also represents the company, you know, so I represent me. Amanda represents Amanda, and so it's a little different, but he's defending comics, and that's great. I just think, I'm not so sure everything's as black and white as people want to believe.
I mean,
like politics, even, like, you know, I hate the idea that somebody's like, it's either this guy or nothing, or I either hate him or love him, and, you know, and I'm like, even with the president, I always go, well, you know, I said, try to look at it from the middle. Like, what is he doing that you like? What is he doing that you don't like? And then react accordingly. But, again, I don't talk politics so much. I'll talk comics. I'll put pictures of the con and my friends and stuff. But I don't want to engage negativity. And it's something that's even in my books I don't really do too much. And I just think if you encourage it, and if you want to get into fights with people, nobody wins, because it kind of reduces you to another level. I don't really like it, people are going to attach me to whatever cause they have, but I'd rather them not do it without talking to me first, you know. But I don't, I my job is to entertain and make comics, and if I was a politician, then sure, I'd be out there every day on the internet talking to people. Or if I owned a company and I had to defend it, of course I would defend it. But nobody's really attacking me for being me, and if they say, hey, your book sucks, I'm like, all right, well, sorry you didn't like it. Maybe you'll find another one you like, or don't buy it. It's cool. That doesn't mean I don't like you, you know, because I honestly meet people, and you realize they've got stuff going on in their lives, and you can't judge by a sentence. You have to get to know a person before you form an opinion. Even the guys I don't agree with, I'm not going to spend time telling them I don't agree with you, because you have to ask yourself, well, what am I really trying to say then if I'm going to engage in that? I believe what I believe. And I just, like I said, I commend Joe for doing it, and some of the guys, you know, definitely. I don't really have time because I have a lot of work to do. So I'm happy they're out there fighting the fight.
Well, that's my thing is that, like, we have this divide. There's a divide.
Right.
You know, what's going on. And I'm always looking for asking people, like, what is the solution? How do we get people to come closer together? And
Is there a problem?
Being
in
that,
a way, I mean, no, of course that they're in their separate sides, but I think sometimes I read what they're fighting about, and I'm like, what are you guys talking about? Everybody wants to make a great comic. I don't right. understand. Nobody's sitting there going, I'm going to make a bad comic. Like, I don't get.
I guess what I'm talking about
sometimes.
Is more of having, like, how are we going to have, like, those civil conversations? How do we get back to civil conversations?
By being civil to
right.
begin with.
Right.
So if you notice, sometimes I will talk to somebody that's arguing with me. And I treat them as if they're sitting next to me and I like them. So I'll explain something the way I see it. It's like a movie, right? Somebody said, that's the worst movie ever. And I go, well, I happen to like that movie. And they're like, well, how could you like that? And I'll be like, okay, well, because I like this part and that part. And I thought that was fun and the soundtrack was killer. And if they could tell me, well, you're stupid for liking it, then that's the end of the conversation, right? Because I'm like, that's not an argument. That's not a conversation. That's you shut me down. I just figure everybody shouldn't like exactly what I like. Then I have no chance of getting it. Everybody be in front of me trying to get it too. I like that people have different. I learn different music tastes. I go, well, what's good? And they'll recommend something. I'll go, holy shit, that is pretty good. Let me get another album by these people. I just think that the divide thing becomes bigger because certain people are asking people to choose sides. And I always say, we all love comics, so that's the side where I'm on. I love comics.
Right.
If they want to bring politics into it, you know, I wrote Uncle Sam and the Freedom Fighters. Nobody cared. You know, I had politics all over that comic. Nobody made noise. We put Harley Quinn out twice a month. And if you really looked at the content in there, there was some crazy stuff. Nobody made noise because they knew it was fun and it was like the tone was different. So I don't really know. All I know is when we fight, we become weaker. And when we become weaker, and louder, we bring attention to ourselves. All the wrong things. And I wish the argument and the noise was about how great comics were. And how we're in a business, in a genre, where we need new readers really bad. And I wish everybody spent their time trying to get people to see how much fun comics are instead of them watching the little battles. Movies aren't about everything happening with Harvey Weinstein, right? They're movies about stories. So I just think that in comics, I if the top story is people fighting among themselves, then it doesn't help comics. It just makes us look like kids. It makes us look like angry people or something. I just don't think it makes us look great, you know? And look, there'll always be a rah-rah person that goes, this is what we see, and everybody stands and cheers, then the other people hate them even more. It's a never-ending thing. I've seen it my whole life. I'm all about sugar. It works much better with people. People are angry at me. It's funny, because people like will give me, like, come over to me and say, I really don't like your book, or and they'll say it to me, and I'm like, I'm sorry to hear that. What don't you like about it? And then we talk. And they tell me, well, because I like the way that... And I'm like, well, that's a good point. But, you know, I was trying to do something. I'm like, oh, okay. So we have a conversation. That guy doesn't... Or girl doesn't walk away from the table more pissed at me. They're like, oh, okay, yeah. He's very polite. And we had a nice conversation. I guarantee the next time he's not going to be running. Or they're not going to be running to make us... To attack me. And I feel like the internet takes away that connection a little bit. It's too safe. Yeah. And people have conversations, so they can be meaner, they can be nastier, they can... And I don't think people are mean and nasty. I don't think so. Genetically, I don't think they are. I think they're just confused or they feel they have to choose a side. So I'm hoping that everybody chills out a little bit. So, you know.
And the last question, this is slash market research, but also to help every other critic out there.
Okay.
What do you get... When creators are reading... comic book reviews. What are you guys looking for? What do you want to see?
What I like to see is I like to see that there's some idea that the person read it instead of reading what it's about and then writing a review about it. So I like to see that they read it. I like to see that they see things in it that I either didn't think somebody would catch or they piece together things because it usually shows me the intelligence of the writer. And then I like to see some eloquence, and instead of saying I hated it, saying it didn't agree with me because it bothered me that the character went this way, that way. Like, that kind of stuff is great because you get to see how people think and view the characters, and I learn from that. But when the interviewer is nasty or going after me personally, like it doesn't make any sense, that to me is not a great review. I'm not. You're reviewing me then. If you want to say, this week I reviewed Jimmy Palmiotti, that's a different article. But if they're saying, I'm going to review this issue of Harley or that issue, so I like to see some thought to it. And look, I love movie reviews. And even if I love the movie, it's fun to read a bad review if the bad review is really has a great way of saying what they didn't like about it, you know? Because I don't know if you ever had it like where you liked the movie and then you read a review and like, oh yeah, I didn't even notice that. That was kind of crappy that they did, you know? Like that, I think having an open mind is a great thing for a reviewer to have, but also not attack the talent, but to actually review the comic would go. And again, I don't mind bad reviews. I just want to, I had a bad review recently and I know the person didn't read the book. Because in a review, they just started rambling about something else and it didn't happen in the book. And I'm like, if I owned that site, I would have said, I can't have you review books anymore. And it's like me asking you to review an event and you never went. You know, how am I supposed to get a review from that? Reviews for me are to gauge things. So, but at the same time, no review will make me not try something. If a movie looks good to me, I'm going to go see it. So, you know.
As always, Jimmy, thank you so much for your time.
Hey. That was Jim Palmiotti. We're at MegaCon Tampa. I've heard rumors that there won't be another MegaCon Tampa. That's going to be sad. Because I go to MegaCon Orlando, I go to MegaCon Tampa, and that's like my two conventions where we set up booths. And I like it works really well. If you're going to get rid of that, I'm going to be sad. Oh, man. Are you guys ready? Ready to talk about Justice League number 9 by Scott Snyder? Oh, I'm so excited. Like, this one gave me goosies. And honestly, like, this is, like, a very bland issue. Like, things hit the fan early on with the totality and how that arc ended. And now we're like, this is the calm before the storm of the next arc. So this is kind of just like a talker, conversation piece of Justice League. And I couldn't believe, apparently my mind was just there to just like go to next levels. And I'm not going to recap the issue for you guys because that would ruin it for you. But I first compared Scott Snyder's run on Justice League because this is post-rebirth. This is a relaunch. And I remember reading Geoff Johns' New 52 Justice League. And I was like, oh man, what is this? Why did you make Green Lantern, Hal Jordan, the dumbest person in the world? And then why is everybody meeting for the first time? Like, I don't get it. I don't get what's going on here. Like, this was just so confusing, and it just, I don't know. I wasn't ready for the reboot. I just wasn't ready for the reboot at all. And it broke me. I stepped away from DC Comics for a while after that. I did, because I was just like, I've had too many reboots in my life. And then Rebirth comes along, and then DC Metal got me back into it. Got me back into DC because they, you know, expanded the universe. They basically doubled the size of the DC universe with Metal, Dark Knight's Metal. Which is impressive for like one title to be like, hey, we're going to double the size of our universe after this miniseries. And that alone just blew my mind. But with Justice League, Snyder's Justice League, he's laser focused on the characters. And then also, it feels like he has looked at every iteration of the Justice League, whether it be like cartoons or comic books, and he like cherry-picked all his favorite parts of all of them, and then he put together his version of the Justice League. And the Hall of Justice in there, so that's a throwback to the old cartoon. And then in Justice League 9, there was a conversation about in the cafeteria and then all the characters in the background. you're like, man, this is like an episode of Justice League Unlimited. And I just couldn't, I was looking around all these different panels, and then the concept of the book where they like, I call it the dorm rooms because I can't really come up with a better word, but each hero has their own room in the Hall of Justice, and each person decorates it or prepares the room the way they want it. And that was a cool little character study on all the different people. And Wonder Woman is having a little issue getting her room together. And so Aquaman and her kind of have a conversation, which puts you through all the different heroes' rooms. It was just really interesting, the amount of detail that Snyder put in this, and Jimenez, the artist. It was really just a beautiful conversation of heroes. I mean, like, it's just, it was, oh, I'm just, Alejandro Sanchez was the colorist, and Jorge Jimenez is the artist, and Jorge did some really amazing things. I loved all the Superman in space. You know, Superman's fixing the moon. Like, that kind of blew me out of the water. You know, when they blow up the moon, I was like, you guys just blew up the moon. Like, apparently, do not touch the microphone. You guys just blew up the moon. Like, that's a game changer in the universe. You can't just blow up the moon and then there not be a moon again. I mean, like, that's just, I don't think that works. I mean, the physics of it, tides, everything else, orbits, all these other things. Like, crazy. You can't do that. So they finally come around to fixing the moon. I mean, basically, Superman comes around fixing the moon. And, like, it becomes the symbol, you know, of, like, it's just, there's things where you just have to get it done. I mean, I get this. I mean, like, I'm a guy who runs into the wall like 100 million times. It's like, I have to do this. Like, it's just, this is the path I have to take. And Superman was on that path. He's like, I have to fix the moon. Like, we got to get the moon back together. And it was just brilliant. This book just hit me on so many different levels. And then the conversation between Batman and Superman, like, they're like best of friends, but they're also like on opposite ends of the spectrum. And the amount of respect that each of them have for each other, they're able to have a debate and a conversation. And then, like, I was like, wow, it's like, because I'm always thinking in my head, like, how are we going to come together as a country? You know, you got Republicans, Democrats, everybody in the middle, and everybody wants to be on their side, and there is no crossing over. You know, after a depressing Kavanaugh hearing, like, reading Justice League 9 was like my cure to that, because I was like, hey, here are two people, very different, you know, but want the same thing, but come from two totally different places, and they're able to have a respectful conversation with each other. And you're like, wow, you know, if you come at a debate with respect for the other person, you will see that respect. Hopefully you'll see that reciprocated. And if it's not, then you know that conversation kind of ends. But, like, if more people come at conversations, come at Comic Gate, come at politics from a respectful point of view, you can then have debates of, like, why is this good? Why is this bad? And just, you know, try to hear people out. And, I mean, this is what I always strive for. I mean, like, I'm horrible at this. I'm the thing. I, like, or I'm the Hulk. I Hulk smash when I, like, hear opposing opinions or something that's, like, hurtful or this or that or a misunderstanding. I'm like, listen, you're trying to take people's rights away. Like, ah! And I just start smashing keyboards and smashing things and everything. But, you know, to get to that, I mean, the only way you're going to change people, the only way you're going to have productive conversations is if you come at it from a respectful point of view. And that's what Snyder did. He had so much respect for the characters in this book. Oh, man. You know, it's just, I'm going to gush with this book because, like, I don't want to say it's a throwaway issue, but, like, nothing really happens. But if you look at it and you break down the panels and you break down the script, like, this book is huge. And the Cubs have two on. with two outs in the bottom of the seventh. I don't know. They're down by a run. And I just interrupted a great thing. But like, Snyder just has so much respect for the history of the comic books. And I mean, it's because some writers come in, Dan Slott, and they're just like, fuck you, mythos. I'm destroying everything. And I don't give a shit about it. And they have no qualms with that. And that's why they hop off of Twitter and they go hide, because the fans know when you don't have respect for something. But like, this had such a good message. It, you know, had so, man, I felt closer to the characters after this. Like, I felt like we were friends, and they like, we drank some beers, and like a little, we got to a next level of friendship with this book. And then the art's gorgeous. And then just going through the whole series, I reread the whole thing, you know, up to issue 9, and talking about that laser focus on the characters, like all the characters were all broken in their own different ways. But when they come together as the Justice League, you're like, this is going to be the shit. Like, it's like you take all that brokenness and then you're like, oh my God, we just formed Voltron. And now it's like, okay, throw whatever giant monster you want at me and I can take it down, because we're Justice League Voltron now. And it's just really good. But I'm just babbling. I'm babbling about this. But Alejandro Sanchez, he worked on the colors of the book, and this book just really just pops. I'm looking at a space scene right now, and you know, you just think it's like Superman in space and just very simple, but like there's some light blues, some whites and grays that just makes this whole space scene pop. Like, it just like, it expands. The layers just grow on it, and just, you know, the angles of lights that are hitting off the characters, it's so amazing how far coloring in comic books has come. And it blows my mind every time I see an amazing page. I'm just like, you guys just knocked it out of the park. Just knocked it out of the park. The coloring is really good. And there's a Hawk Girl splash page in this book that just has movement, and Hawk Girl always has attitude. Oh man. And the colors, it's just, you know, it's just bam. It's just a very powerful page when everything comes together, just boom, it's done. The lettering, because they're doing this like psychic conversation. So the word balloons have little wiggly circles around them. And Superman's is a light blue, and Batman's is a dark, is like a gray. So that's how you know who's talking. I mean, I would just recommend trying to go with more of a contrast in those colors so it pops out, because there's towards the end of the issue, there was an important conversation going on, and I was like, who said that? Batman? You know, it's just, again, I read it a couple times. I mean, I read the book probably 2-3 times, and so, but I was still like, on that last page, I was like, wait, I was like, what? And so it just takes you out a little bit of the book, and yeah, that's the worst part of an amazing book. I mean, if that's the worst part, that's a pretty good book. And it's like one panel. It's just one panel. And I don't really know what just happened in the baseball game. Oh, something happened. Bases are loaded. Bottom of seventh. Two outs. Jason Hayward is up. Everybody on the stands is going crazy. And he looks at an 82-mile-an-hour strike. Oh, my God. You're not going to get another meatball pitch out there. I mean, you got to put it in play. You got to put this pitch in play. I mean, Joe Madden's up there. He's got a sweatshirt on because it's a little cold, but like, you got to, I mean, this just got to get a base hit. This is where baseball gets really impressive, because this is the most right now, this moment right now for Jason Hayward. Oh man, now we're at 1-1. Jason Hayward is just, he's got to put that ball in play. Like, he's got to get it to the outfield, or he's got to get it out of the building. And I hate to say it, guys. All right, so Jason Hayward has a 1.53 career postseason batting average, lowest in MLB history at 100 at bats. Oh, man, they're asking, they're crushing him. 2-1. Are they going to walk in a tying run in the bottom of the seventh? The Colorado Rockies. 2-1. Octavio is the pitcher on the Rockies. And this is my, I guess I'm doing a broadcast of the Rockies game. This is what we're going to do. Because, I mean, I can't not talk about this while we're going on. I mean, like, it's a good sight to see. He pinched the corner. He pinched the outside corner. Now we're 2-2. Oh, man. Jason Hayward, you got to swing at something, buddy. I know it's 2-1. You want to get the 3-1. But, like, he pinched the corner and the ump gave it to him. Whew. This is either going to be a gut-wrenching experience for Cubs fans, or this is going to be where they blow it open right now. The pitch is up. Fans are on their seats. And he strikes out on a 97-mile-an-hour slider that wasn't over the plate. Oh, you can hear Wrigley Field crying. All right, back to Justice League. I've had a million reboots. I don't have a million. I've had like 3 reboots, and it's really annoying. But after sitting with Justice League, it's a book that, you know, you can read as a fan. And you could be like, okay, here I have feelings in these different books. Like, each, you know, Superman feels this way, Batman feels this way, Wonder Woman has a feeling, Aquaman. Like, there's all these feelings, and like, they're familiar feelings. So no matter how much you change the universe, you have these familiar feelings that you've grown up with, or that you're currently establishing, and you're like, okay, this makes sense. And that's what Snyder brings to the table. It's just, it's mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing, you know, what a good writer does that respects what has come before and but wants to expand the universe to a next level. Like, it's just, it's crazy. It's crazy. Are you reading Justice League? I mean, if you are, you should come back and let me know what you think of the book. I mean, when you read number 9, let me know how deep you went with this book. Did you just, like, read it as a casual reader? Or did you go like nerd style and just like, okay, let's analyze every panel and every feeling that's going on with this? Because that's how, I mean, I did. I was like, good morning, moon. You have me. Like, it was brilliant. It was really good. It was really good. And I gave it, what did I give this book? I gave it a 4.1 out of 5 stars. Gave the writing a 4.5, the art a 4, the colors a 4.5, and the letters a 3.5. I'm sorry, Tom. It's not your fault, Tom. It's not your fault, Tom. So, I mean, I really feel bad when I'm hard on letterers. It's a tough business. But I mean, you're with the big two. You know, you're in the major leagues. This is the playoffs. I mean, on a top tier book, Justice League. I mean, like, after Batman, like, what is the next book? Is it Justice League? I mean, it's got Batman in it. Oh, man. So I apologize for being hard on letterers, but, you know, you can't get your shit together. But I really enjoyed this Justice League. I really enjoyed talking to Jim Palmati. Man, I cannot believe how good of a mood Justice League put me in. So, I mean, that's got to be a quality recommendation. But again, I'm Matt Sardo. This is Monkeys Fighting Robots. I'm going to try to get the podcast out so it's out every Wednesday. So that if you're chilling on lunch or you're getting some books or whatever, you can go from there. I'm going to try to get in, you know, some interviews, at least one interview, and then review a comic book or a movie. I'm going to go see Venom tomorrow. And then we'll, you know, we got some Daredevil stuff with the TV show we can talk about. We got some Runaways that comes out in December. We can talk about those things. But, you know, I want to try to have a conversation with somebody and then talk about what I've been reading or what I've been watching. Cause I have a Wu-Tang interview, and then I have another interview that I did right before the Twins came out. So I'll pull those out to give to you guys. Cause those are new. But as of the time of me wrapping up this podcast, it is the top of the eighth, and the Colorado Rockies are up 1-0 over Chicago Cubs. It's either going to be really dramatic in Wrigley Field, or it's going to be really depressing. I guess we'll talk about the MLB playoffs next Tuesday, and we should have a clearer picture of who's doing what. But again, thank you for listening, and I can't wait for your feedback.